Everybody today, thank you for being here. We appreciate again the presence of everyone that moved by the gentleman you mentioned, David, meeting that remembered everything. What a gift. I was thinking that my wife would probably tell you I have the gift of forgetting everything, that I do not have that kind of gift. But anyway, we are delighted to see you, and always look forward to these times when we can come together and to worship the Lord, to have fellowship with each other. This is certainly something that's a very, very special time for all of us. There are a number of things which are indispensable to our life in God, to our spiritual life. And I want to focus this morning on some of those things which I believe are indispensable to our spiritual life, that we cannot do without these things if we hope to live with God. And of course, number one would not be a surprise, and that is Jesus Christ. John 15 and verse 5, one of the verses that Harrison read this morning, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And then in chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And then John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And then in chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So certainly Christ is indispensable to our salvation. We cannot find our way to God, we cannot discover the truth of God, or experience the new life in God, or find our way to heaven without Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14, verse 12 reminds us, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but in its end," or in the end, "it is the way of death." Now, there are many who choose to walk in their own way. Some choose the way of morality, but morality in of itself will not save us. Some choose the way of their own feelings. If it feels right, then that's what I'm going to do. Others choose the way of philanthropy. Others choose the way of philosophy. There are those who go the way of the majority, but there's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. So that is certainly one of those indispensable things to our spiritual lives, to our finding a way to live with God in heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. But another indispensable thing is the redeeming blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." By our own goodness or merit, we could not remove one single sin or 1 million sins. The blood atonement. When we break the word down, it comes out at one moment. We cannot experience at one moment with God without the blood. The word means to cover, it means to reconcile, it means to be at one. Three simple questions. Why was it necessary? Because of our sin. How is it the blood applied? Or how is the atonement applied? It's by the powerful blood of Christ. How do we appropriate that? It's through obedience to God's will. There is a scarlet thread that runs all through the Bible, from the Garden of Eden all the way to the Tree of Life in the midst of the paradise of God, and without the blood, think about it for just a moment. No church, because it was purchased with what? the precious blood of Christ. No redemption, because in Him we have redemption through His blood. Paul states that a number of times. The Lord's Supper, which we just shared in, would lose its significance because we remember His broken body and His shed blood. No forgiveness, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Think about baptism. And one of your family is experiencing that here today, Joe. Baptism into Christ. But John informs us that Jesus shed His blood in His death. And Paul reminds us what? That we are baptized into His death, where we come into contact with that powerful blood of Christ. What about heaven? Revelation tells us that those in heaven are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood atonement is not a theory. It is an event. It is a truth. It is an indispensable thing. Number three, faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." So why is faith so important? Well, faith is the medium through which we appropriate the grace of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 are familiar verses. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So, by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the very gift of God. And Titus chapter 2, verse 11 reminds us, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Now, that grace has appeared to all people, but not all are saved because not all have that saving faith. So faith is the medium through which we can appropriate the powerful, amazing grace of God. But faith is also to be the manner of the Christian life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. That is the manner of the Christian life. So faith certainly is one of those indispensable things. Number four, holiness. Hebrews 12, verse 14, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification," or we might say holiness, "without which no one will see the Lord." The words holy or holiness occur around 600 times in the Bible. I would say it is rather important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." And again, we could translate that holiness. Or Ephesians 4, verse 24, "And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." And Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." What is holiness? It's sanctification. It's being set apart. Sometimes it's translated saint. The Bible refers to holy ground, holy days, holy place, holy food, things set apart by and for God. And so I would put it simply by saying a holy life is, number one, a life dedicated to God, a life that has been set apart to God. A holy life is one that is at times disciplined by God. We'll come back to that discipline in just a moment. And then a holy life is one that is distinctive for God, dedicated to God, disciplined by God, and distinctive for God. That's a holy life. So we are talking about a people who are distinctly different because they belong to Jesus Christ. Now, our culture pressures us to assume and adopt and incorporate into our lives their philosophies. Existentialism, materialism, humanism, hedonism. Just to name a few philosophies of this world. But through all of this, God challenges to the church is to be holy. And of course, we know the basis of that holiness is God Himself. You be holy because the Lord your God is holy. The call to holiness. And then love. 1 Corinthians 13, you will remember that Paul compares love with eloquence, with teaching ability, with knowledge, with benevolence, with self-sacrifice. But he reminds us that without love, those things are nothing. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I've often been intrigued by Jesus saying, a new commandment I give to you. And I've often thought, well, what was new about that commandment, Jesus? Because certainly the Old Testament indicated that you love the Lord your God and also you love your neighbor as yourself. But I believe the newness stemmed from the fact that he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now that puts a whole new slant on that commandment, doesn't it? Love one another, even as I have loved you. That really puts a whole different perspective on that commandment. How will people know that we are his disciples? Is it because we sing without an instrument? Is it because that we can quote the Bible perhaps more than anyone else? Is it because we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? As important as all of those things are, I'm not downplaying any of those things. Those things are important. But what is the badge of discipleship? According to Jesus, it is our love for one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And then discipline. Hebrews chapter 12. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. God disciplines us. Hebrews says that it is a mark of sonship. God is our Father. We are His children. He does it because He loves us. It is part of the growing process. It is part of the molding process. It is a manifestation of His love for His people. And sometimes it is necessary in bringing us back to God discipline. The Lord disciplines those whom He loves. Some indispensable things. Jesus Christ. I thank God every day for sending His Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I thank Jesus that He was willing to shed His blood that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And if ever I am tempted to give up, I always go back to that man on that center cross who did not give up, who was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. And as long as I can keep my eye and my focus on that, that is going to help me to remain strong and steady in the Lord. Thank you for the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. Faith, and I pray that God will increase our faith on a daily basis, that we'll grow in our faith, that we will always remember that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we will strive to live that holy, distinct life for God, that we will have a genuine, authentic love for one another, and that we will also learn that discipline sometimes is necessary in order to help us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Indispensable things for our spiritual life. Do you belong to Him? We can go to heaven with a lot of things, without a lot of things, but I tell you the one thing that we will not go without, and that's without a commitment to Jesus Christ. And if you need to make that initial commitment through faith, repentance, baptism, we're here to assist you with that. If you desire the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. And so if there's any way that we can help you this morning, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement?